All right. Well, thank you for joining us for this month's BP Leadership Lesson. Bill has a great message for you guys. I hope you're ready. Now let's dive in and see what he's got to say.
All right. Hey, thank you, Hunter. And thank all of you for watching right now and tuning in. We're kind of getting used to this Zoom thing, I think, and it's a little bit different, but we did feel like it was best not to, because of the rise of COVID, to go back down to the Trade Center at the moment, and we'll be keeping you informed as to when we can do that. We just want everybody to be safe. Right now, so many people we're knowing are having COVID, had COVID, and the sad thing is I know some people that it's been fatal, and their family can't even be with them during this time, so that's been really tough. So we just decided this is the best way to be able to do this, but I really am glad to be able to be with you today. And I want to share with you some things today. We talked about going back to Bible characters and learning in the Bible characters some of the lessons that we can learn about leadership. And so I want to give you a few of them today. One is I want to talk to you for a moment about leadership lesson from the life of Deborah. In the Bible, there's this lady whose name is Deborah, and she is a judge. And we don't talk a lot about the women of the Bible that are leaders, but I tell you, there are a lot of them. In fact, some of the greatest leaders in all of history have been the women. And so today, if you're a lady and you're in that role and you're saying, you know, I've got all this overwhelming responsibility, I want to give you some examples of people that have led well. And perhaps you can even put them in your mind, at the back of your head, as the people you want to read about, learn about, listen from, because there's some tremendous ladies that were outstanding leaders that don't get the credit they should. So the book is the book of Judges. The book of Judges basically deals with this. There were no kings in Israel at the time, and Joshua had just recently died. So the judges were appointed by God to oversee the land. So instead of kings, they had judges over different regions. And Israel did like a lot of us do. They go into this spiritual cycle. They get right with God, they lean on God, they depend on God, then all of a sudden they go through a time where they forget God, God's blessed them greatly, and then God has to send a deliverer to them to get them out of slavery or out of the mess they're in. They repent, come back, and it's the same cycle. So every time God sends a deliverer, God would send a deliverer when they were in bondage and slaves in Egypt. The deliverer's name was Moses. God sent them when the Midianites were attacking them, and the deliverer's name was Gideon. Well, now the Canaanites are giving them a lot of problems. There's a guy named Jabin who is the leader, the king of the Canaanites, and he's caused a lot of problems to Israel. And for years now, they've been defeated and discouraged. But God's going to raise up a woman by the name of Deborah. I'm married to Deborah, so I can tell you they're pretty special. But this lady named Deborah, he raised her up at the time to be able to make the decisions that's going to save a nation. Now, let me give you some things about Deborah right off the bat. One is the name Debbie means bee. And it refers to being busy, being active, never sitting still. In fact, here's what those of you by the name of Deborah will love. That in the world of science, they tell us that the bee is one of the smartest of all the creatures ever created. And so those of you named Deborah, you can hold on to that as well. Now, she was always working. She was always busy. She had several roles. One is she was a judge. Now, she's the only female judge mentioned in the Bible. And so Deborah is raised up as a judge. She's known for holding court outside. Apparently, she liked the scenic view, so instead of being inside like others, she would go out and sit under a palm tree. People would come and bring to her all of their concerns, their problems. She would gather the information. She was really what you'd call the people's champion. She connected with all the people. They loved that lady Deborah. Now, she was also a prophet, which was very unusual. You couldn't be a judge or a prophet. There's only one other in the Bible that was Samuel that was a judge and a prophet. But Deborah is also both a prophet of God and a judge by God. Now, as a prophet, she wasn't allowed to go into the temple and to make sacrifices, but she could lead in worship. So we get the picture that she was a worship leader, that she sang, she had a good voice. We do know she was also a songwriter. She had written several songs. In fact, Judges chapter 5 is called the song, it's a famous song, it's the Song of Deborah. And it's about after they won the victory over the Canaanites, she wrote and penned these words about a song, and that's well known. She's also a warrior. She's going to go into a battle or help them get into a battle. So realistically, Deborah is this lady who's living up to her name, a busy woman, judge, prophet, songwriter, and now a warrior. Here's what she's known for. I'll give you what she's known for, and then I'll tell you what I learned from her life, okay? She's known for this. There came a time when Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, decided we're going to go and put more pressure on Israel. And Deborah got tired of it. She saw the people in discouragement, so she said, listen, God gave me a word. And she went to the king at that time, or to a general at that time, and his name was Barak. And she said, Barak, God wants you to take 10,000 soldiers and to go to fight against Sisera. Sisera was the general of the Canaanite army. Now, he was the terror to everybody. He had 900 iron chariots. People were afraid of this man. He's very brutal. He had 10,000 soldiers. And so what he did caused terror in the hearts of everyone. And yet Deborah is saying, take 10,000 and go fight the 100,000. God told me he's going to deliver them into your hand. Well, when she tells Barak that, the good news is that Barak is going to do it. The bad news is that you'd think Barak would have said, okay, if God's going to give me the victory, I'm going. But instead, he said, I won't go unless you go with me. That is, he said, you got to go hold my hand, Deborah. I'm not man enough to go do this by myself. I don't have the faith to do this. I'm scared of this man. He's got 100,000 soldiers. We got 10,000. Deborah, I know God's with you. So if you go with me, then I will go to battle. But if you don't, I won't. Now, the whole nation is dependent on his response. So he decides to go, and she goes with him. But she makes a statement. She says, now, I want to tell you something, Barak. If I go with you, God's going to give you the victory. But when we get the victory, you're not going to be remembered in history for anything you did. You're not going to be getting any glory or credit for saving the nation. And then she said this that would be offensive in that culture. She said, God's going to give a woman the credit for saving the nation. And that had to be both offensive, but he was willing to do it. And so the Bible tells us that they went off. They went to the battle. When they go into the battle that day, what takes place is that Sisera and them are stuck in the middle. They got a great advantage, but then suddenly all their chariots get stuck. The armies of Israel overwhelm them. They run and scatter in different directions. And now this great king that everybody's afraid of, a general named Sisera, he runs into a house. And he goes up to this house, and he asks them to hide him. And so they say, sure, and they hide him. And then he says, hide me under a blanket and bring me some milk. And so he's tired, he's thirsty. And there's a lady named Jael who runs the house. Jael sees him there, and she knows that he's the one that's tried to kill all of the Israelites. And so she sees him there in the home. She goes and gives him a pillow and a blanket and give him some milk. And then when he lays his head down to rest, he turns his head away. Here's what she does. She takes a tent peg, which is a spike, and a hammer. When he's turned his head away, she sticks it by his temple, and she hammers it through his brain into the floor of the tent. Now, she won the war, okay? There's an old joke there. She hammered that victory home. She did. She killed that great terrorist that day with a hammer and a tent peg, and she was just a housewife. And so here's what's interesting. You remember how that Deborah had said to Barak, if I go with you to battle, now a woman's going to get the credit for winning this war. And they all thought, obviously, it'd be Deborah. It wasn't. It was a housewife. It was a lady who no one even knew her name that killed this great general. And the Canaanites, you hear very little of them afterwards. And therefore, what happens is her word was true and God gave the victory. They lived for 40 years in peace. He was never known as a hero after that. So let me give you a couple of takeaways, all right? When I see this story, and I encourage you, go back and read it sometime. It's a great story. I condensed it down and gave you the BP version just so you could at least get the idea of it. Here's what I learned from that story, though, that helps me in leadership, particularly if you're in a role right now. One is this. God can use whomever he pleases. God can use whomever he pleases. He uses a Deborah, who is a woman there in that day that women weren't known for giving the best advice or being the ones that were leaders, and yet she was. God raised her up to show us again that he was God and that he could use her. And he overcame that whole male-dominated society with the idea that that men are the only ones that can bring a victory. So God chose that. He also chose Jael. Now, interesting thing about her, one specific role at one time in history. All she had was one job. And that one job she did, but she did it well. And I've often thought, what if God only gave to us one assignment in life? Whatever that one assignment is, maybe it's to be a great parent or to be a great leader or whatever it is, that one assignment. Is there any one thing we can say we gave our all to and we gave our best to? And instead of trying to be a jack of all trades, is there an area that we would decide we want to master, we want to be the best in? I believe whatever God's put in your realm of responsibility ought to be what you do with all your heart. The Bible says it this way in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. No hold back, put everything in. And so here's a lady that had one role. She's not known for writing a book. She's not known for writing songs. She wasn't known even as Deborah was, as a prophet or a judge. But here's a lady who one day had an opportunity that she acted upon, and she saved an entire nation. So the secret behind that is God can use whomever he pleases. I know that's a big fear a lot of us have is, am I qualified? I believe God's called you, you are. The second thing I noticed that's interesting in that story, though, is in Judges chapter 5, Deborah records every single event, every detail about everything. And it reminds me of this. I believe it's important to record your experiences. I would encourage you, get a journal and write in life the decisions you've made, why you've made them, what you've gone through, what your thought processes were. I have files today that I keep, and those files could be about anything. But I write down what I learned through that experience. And sometimes I've even had in relationship experience, I'll write down. If somebody comes to me today and says, our relationship broke down 10 years ago, I'm trying to figure out why. I can go back right now and pull a file and I say, here's why. And I do that because my mind may not always be as sharp to remember. But if I have it written down, I can look at that and I can see what went on, what I did, what I should have done, what I would do differently. And so record your experiences. And by the way, that helps you when you come to make other decisions down the road. If you're writing down now in a journal what you've done, one is it builds your faith. When you come into a real time where you need faith, you can see where God came through before. And other is it may help you to make a decision a lot quicker. So God can use who he pleases. Write down your experiences. You're less likely to forget what you learned there. The third thing is Deborah does this. She remembers quickly where her victory came from. When she writes this song of Deborah, she begins to give God the glory, saying, God raised me up. God brought me to this place for this particular time. And she was quick to point who gave her the glory. And I say this just because I've said this before to us, but always remember where you came from. You remember, if you ride down the road and you see a turtle on the fence post, you know one thing. He didn't get there by himself. Somebody put him there. If I'm going through life and I've got experiences and blessings and favor, generally, it's somebody else helped put me there. It wasn't all my doing that got me there. Many people have a part in our success. Another thing that I noticed about her was this, and this is the leadership part. When she writes in that song of Deborah in the fifth chapter, she remembers who her victories came from, but she also recognizes the people that made a difference. She says in the story, she says, there were two different tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali, that they risked their lives and they went out to battle with us. And she honors the people that have paid a price. There again, as a leader, one of the things you've got to do that really makes a difference is this. Whenever you get a victory or God's blessed you, take the moment to thank the people around you that helped you to get there. Particularly if it's employees that did a job. I read a statement years ago where the average employee said, I would go to work earlier, I would stay later, and I would work harder if I just knew that my supervisor appreciated me. They were saying it wasn't necessarily the raise. It wasn't necessarily the job. It was just knowing that they were adding value, that somebody recognized them and said, good job. And so that's what Deborah does. Right off the bat, she says, when we went to battle, she calls out, there were two of these 12 tribes. They sacrificed their life and they went to battle with us. And I give them kudos and thank them. And I really believe that appreciation is one of the great keys to leadership. And so that's what she does. Now, she also does something else, though. This lady calls out the people that didn't. She calls out the tribe of Reuben. She says, Reuben didn't go. She said, Reuben stayed home and let us fight. Then she called out three other tribes, Gilead, Dan, Asher. They didn't go to battle either. Now here she's saying, all of the nation has won today. We're doing great. And there's two tribes that you sacrificed, and God bless you. Give them praise. Then she said, but there's five over here that didn't. And she names them out. She calls them out. Now, I'll be honest with you, I like that. I like the fact as a leader, she just doesn't let it slide. She doesn't let them just enjoy and celebrate the victories with all the rest. She points out they didn't do anything to achieve the victory that you have. Give credit to the people that did, but those that didn't, they just rode along and got the victory. And I like the fact she did. And by the way, real leaders have a tendency to do this. They will recognize the people that work and they will mark those that don't. And it's okay. The Apostle Paul said this, mark some people. Now, he didn't mean you cast them out, you kick them out, you put them down, but he meant mark them. That is, make a mental note that that person wasn't with me when I needed them, or that person isn't able to carry the ball. And mark them, because if you've got staff and you've got employees and you've got people on your team that you know can't deliver, then you need to know that for every time that you're about to try to achieve something. Can I pass them the ball? A while back, we had a situation we needed done. And I remember Pastor Brent actually said to me, he said, Dad, we got to get this done. I'm not sure where we go. And I said, pass that ball. Then we had a guy on our staff named Butch Jordan. I said, give that to Butch. Butch is like your wide receiver. You throw the long ball, he'll catch it every time. And he makes it look good. So pass the ball to the people that you know can catch it. And that's really what she does. She's marking those that are no good. She's honoring those that are. And then there's something else I see about leadership that she gave is this. And I would just call this the seize the opportunity. I really believe that when JL had the opportunity, she could have made excuses. She could have said, I'm a woman. I could be killed. I'm risking my life. I've got this great general here laying in my floor under this pillow and blanket. Do I take the risk to kill him? What if he fights back? What if he wins? She had a high risk there, and it wasn't her job. And she could have passed it on and said, hey, that's the Army's job. It wasn't mine. But she knew her nation was in trouble, and she knew at that moment she had an opportunity to seize the moment and change things. And I say to this, the difference between leaders and followers are generally that leaders will seize the opportunity. Opportunities come to everybody. But most leaders say, this is the moment. It may not be the perfect moment. It may not be that everything's laid out. But I'm going to seize the opportunity while I have the opportunity. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to live like Deborah did with faith, to say, even though there's 10,000 of us, 100,000 of them, if God led me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out. I don't worry about that if God's with me. I believe in acting on your faith like they did. And I believe in seizing the opportunities. I shared the other day in an interview with somebody something I think is worthwhile, and that is, they said, what would you give advice to us young people about doing? And my advice to them was, take risk. Don't be afraid of taking risk. When you're older, you're going to have more children, more responsibility, more obligations. It's a little harder. Not that you can't do it, but the younger you are, the easier it should be to take risk. And don't be afraid to take them. I love the fact when I read about this lady, I would have known nothing about. That's why I wanted to bring you characters from the Bible that most people don't talk about. But here's a lady named JL, just a housewife nobody ever knew. And here's a lady who saved a whole nation because she took an opportunity. She got on board with a lady like Deborah. And I love the fact that Deborah gives her all kind of credit. She wasn't jealous. She didn't say, hey, I was the one that told Barack to go down there. She wasn't the one that says, hey, I was the judge, I was the prophet, and don't give credit to this little housewife. No, she raised her up, praised her, acknowledged her. She had no problem pointing to the people that brought home the bacon. And so I say to you that in our life, I want to learn some of those same things. I want to recognize my victories come from God. I want to honor the people that I know paid the price. I want to call out those that didn't and say I know them and can trust them or not. I want to believe that God can use anybody, anywhere, anytime, regardless of whether you feel qualified or not. And I want to seize the opportunities when they come my way.
I hope you enjoyed this BP Leadership lesson from Bill Purvis. And if you would like to hear more from Bill, make sure you check out the BP Leadership Podcast. You can find it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. So make sure that you subscribe to the BP Leadership Podcast today.